It's from Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw them, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here, and if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Here again, these words from Exodus 31, "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." To the newly redeemed out of slavery people of Israel, it's a solemn command that the Lord gives. He even says these words to preface it, "Above all." They need to remember, he wants them to remember deeply that it's the Lord himself, who sanctifies them in the Sabbath. But he also warns them of something later on you heard about breaking the Sabbath. "Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be lightly chastised, shall sit in time out." No, he shall be put to death. And so the question that our 21st century American ears have is, whoa, why was this so important? Why such a heavy word about the Sabbath and the Sabbath keeping and the Sabbath breaking? Why did God insist so fervently on this set-aside holy day for rest? Now, the first reason, it's obvious, I think, rather, let's call it functional even. He wants them to observe the Sabbath to give them, make them, really, take time for their bodies and their minds to have a physical rest and refreshment from the labor. The work that they did, as we know from the curse in Eden, it's by the sweat of brow that you will have your daily bread. Work is hard, and many people, and we probably even know some, if given the opportunity, will work 7 days a week and all the weeks of the month and of the year. If they weren't forced to take time off, they would never do it. The second reason, though, that the Lord gives the people of Israel this Sabbath rest and the warning about it is he wants to make sure that his people take time for a spiritual refreshment. That is to say that they are rested in their souls by being and given the opportunity to be fed by the Word of God, to devote themselves on the Sabbath to learning about their Lord and the promises and the work that he has made and done. It is an important thing. Big reasons necessary, obvious on their face, I even think. Body's going to break, and your mind is going to break unless you give it rest, and your soul will too, and your faith, if you are not rested and refreshed by the Word of God. But the greatest purpose of the Sabbath rest and all of the import that the Lord attached to it in Exodus was, like so much in the Old Testament, something that was not to be seen or understood fully until the advent, the first advent, of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Galatians 3, you can go home and look it up, that the law was given as a guardian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. And in the case of the third commandment, the commandment about the Sabbath, it was to teach Israel about the one person who would himself be the Lord of the Sabbath. That's finally the end goal of that commandment. That is, with coming of Jesus in the flesh, the true, actual Sabbath rest that the Lord gave was there, is here. Think about it. Jesus said during his ministry, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is saying with these words that in him, when we are his, when we are in him by faith and he in us, all of our actual deep, heavy existential labors cease, and we find true rest for our souls. During his ministry, when he was going around teaching and healing, people responded to Jesus' invitation, many so positively. They came to him, cast their cares and their burdens onto him, gave him their sin, took refuge in the incarnate Son of God. They put aside their own works and their own glory, whatever it was or was worth, so that God might work in them through the person of his Son, Jesus. And God's Son has given and has truly worked that rest for the people. Just as from Genesis, on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done, so too did our Lord Jesus Christ during Holy Week. As on the sixth day in Genesis during creation, Friday, sixth day, Adam was made, man was made. On the sixth day of Holy Week, the second Adam redeemed man by his own death. God finished creation on the sixth day in Genesis, and on the sixth day of Holy Week, Good Friday, Jesus said, "It is finished." And then what did he do the next day on the Sabbath? He laid in the tomb, and his body rested from all the work that he had done on the cross. And that is why Jesus Christ, our Lord, is true in the actual Sabbath rest promised so long ago and given to us even now. Pleasures, physical rests that we enjoy in this life and world, they do give something of a rest. Of course, I had a nap this morning. It felt great. But it's not the whole package. It never is, these things. To be at rest in complete actuality is to finally lay all of our burdens on Jesus and to find our true deep rest in him and his life and his work for us. As the hymn goes, we lay our sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. We listen, we read his words of pardon and peace for us in the Holy Scriptures, and we are refreshed by it. I hope we are. And those words of pardon and peace given to us in the Word, we hear them when we come to church. When we have divine service, we listen to them in the absolution that I've been given to pronounce over you, and we receive those words and that comfort, pardon, and peace in the salutary gift of the Lord's Supper. Each time we come to the Lord's table, we come weak, weary, burdened by our own sin and guilt and all the other troubles of this life. That is to say, when we come to church, we need the spiritual refreshment that Jesus alone can give us. Our own load of our transgressions is too heavy for each one of us to actually bear, and we need a true, actual Sabbath rest, more than just sleeping in on a Saturday or a Sunday. And for that reason, Jesus didn't leave us without a help, but he gave us something. The night before he died, he gave us Holy Communion. He said, "Come to me, eat and drink. Find your rest here in this sacred meal and refreshment for your soul." We confess this reality of Holy Communion when we sing in the words of our opening hymn tonight, a well-known one. I could hear all the way up front how well-known it was. "Weary am I and heavy laden, with sin my soul is sore oppressed. Receive me graciously and gladden my heart, for now I am thy guest. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good." We enter into the presence of Jesus Christ and his Sabbath rest, not by our feelings, not by even our thoughts, but rather through the concrete reality, the present reality of the Lord's Supper. That's where we find him, in, with, and under the bread and the wine. In that faithful eating and drinking, we find and we receive the spiritual rest that he promises and that we need so desperately. And we are rested in it and sustained by it until the day that we leave this life and enter the final and complete rest of heaven, where we will be with our Lord and feast and be at rest with him forever. Amen.